Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and the date is July 29th, 2016, and still here in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. Gorgeous day. Just finished up the Sprott Resource Conference. I'm sitting down with Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist, mercenarygeologist.com, at his favorite watering hole in town here. And it is time for Mickey's monthly major market review for July 2016. So, Mickey, this was quite a month. And hey, what better place to talk about it than here?
And in my favorite watering hole about a block from my apartment in downtown Vancouver. And I get a happy hour prices here for every hour the bar is open during the week because it is our neighborhood bar. That said, let's go into markets. The Dow, S&P 500 both spent the month in record to near record territory. The Dow closed up 3% over the month at 18,432, not that much off its all-time high. S&P 500 is right at its all-time high of 2174, up 3.5% of the month. NASDAQ was really the best performer. And a lot of that has to do, I think, with that the tech sector as a whole came in with better Q2 earnings than most of the rest the U.S. economy, closed at 51.62, up 6.5%. And finally, this is really good news, I think, for business in the U.S. Maybe it's because Obama is leaving office here in a couple of months. But the small tech sector, as per the Russell 2000, closed the month at 12.20, up 6% over the month. And this is despite bad economic numbers in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, hey, as we're sitting here, GDP just came in today at just barely up at 1.2%. I mean, we could discuss GDP numbers all day till we're blue in the face. Be that as it may, that's pretty pathetic numbers. So now we get onto the other markets, the TSX.
TSX up almost 4%. That might have to do with a better commodities market. Closed the month at 14,583. The real story, once again, Toronto Venture Exchange. You and I were both at the Sprott Conference this week, which focuses on junior resource companies. The mood, to say the least, was buoyant, if not bubbly and frothy. But the Venture Exchange, 17 of 22 trading days this week or this month, 52-week highs. So this thing's on a roll. It took a couple of little pauses, but it was really up this week. And you got to think it was driven by all the enthusiasm at a relatively small resource conference. But it was kind of a who's who of the junior resource sector.
Yeah, but 700 people driving a market. But as Rick Rule said, the market was down 90%. So if it's gone up 100% from its low, it's still down 80%.
Well, so I looked and, from the post-global economic crisis high of 2440, we're basically one-third of the way up, two-thirds to go. So we've got a long ways to go. Meanwhile, emerging markets had a good month, a good 2 months now on better economic data. Closed the month up 873, up almost 5%. And then, as expected, the VIX hit the July summer doldrum low. I looked back the one-year chart last time. It was as low as this, below 12. It was closed the month at 1187, was exactly a year ago. And that has nothing to do with the fact that everybody's on vacation. Brokers in New York are in the Hamptons. Brokers in Vancouver are on the ocean. Brokers in Toronto are their cottages on the lake. So low volume, low volatility.
Yeah, so definitely not a case, though, of sell in May and go away.
No, it has not been sell in May, go away. You know, we've had a couple of good months, particularly in what I really concentrate in, the junior resource sector. And it looks like we may blow through this without any summer doldrums at all. We'll check back in a month at the end of August or right after Labor Day and assess this in full.
Absolutely. So now we go to our money rates here, the dollar.
Well, lost a little bit, closed the month at 95.55. But the real story was the last week. It was greater than 97.5 about a week to 10 days ago. So this drop, a lot of that drop happened in the last 2 days with the FOMC meeting. No rate raise. We've already told you there's not going to be a rate raise. We told you this back in May until after the election. I think it's going to be probably until after we get a new president. Old Yeller wants to keep her job. But really, on poor U.S. economic data, the dollar has lost a little bit over the last couple of days. Euro up a little less than a percent at 112. 10-year treasury with negative rates, what you can expect is low yields. That went down even more, 1.46, 2% loss. And then finally, Bitcoin was relatively flat month to month, lost 2%, but it was over 700 in early July. It's at 658 today.
And I'll just put on my former lawyer's hat, case by a Miami judge. Now, being a Florida resident, I will not be overly complimentary to Florida jurisprudence. The judge said, originally from New York, and I will say the judge got this totally wrong, but with the right result, saying that it was a money laundering case, and she ruled that Bitcoin is not money. And obviously, you and I would take issue with that one, perhaps.
Well, perhaps. I would take issue with anything other than gold is money. Gold is real money. Everything else is something fiat.
It's a medium of exchange. It's arguably a store of value. It's portable. It's divisible. It's all of those things.
And Aristotle said it 2,500 years ago.
Well, he didn't have Bitcoin either, and he didn't have a smartphone, Mickey. But, hey, let's go on to the metals. A little bit of excitement there. Hey, maybe the Sprott conference pushed them up as well.
I don't know what pushed gold up other than bad U.S. economic data and the fact that, lo and behold, they're not going to raise interest rates a whole quarter of a percent. But gold was down to 1313, 1315, even a week ago, 1313 during the month of July. But it moved up in the last 3 days nicely, closed the month at 1350, up 2%. It seems range-bound in this area of about 310 to 350 for a while. I'm still looking for a test of that $1,300 level this month. During the summer doldrums. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but I actually would welcome that. That's major resistance at 1290 to 1300. Silver, meanwhile, spent the month plus or minus $20. Once again, up 8% over the month. Nice move there. But the big move really was in platinum, up 12% over the month. Closed today at 1147. That big move really occurred over the last week. 1082 last week, 1021 a month ago, but the real big move in platinum happened over the last week. We're still very bullish on platinum. And finally, palladium in precious metals up 18% over a month. Big moves. 6 weeks in a row, palladium's made a move, but it still is undervalued with respect to platinum, so we would expect big moves to continue there.
So palladium, Mickey, hasn't been this high since last summer. It's been in the doldrums for a couple of years.
Well, yeah, it hit, what was it, about a 13-year high back in late September of 2014, but it's not been a metal that's been particularly buoyant since then. And that's surprising to me, really, because the demand for catalytic converters coming both with record auto sales in the U.S. and China. Finally, we'll go to copper. It was stronger all month long, was up only 1.6% over the month, closed at 222. But that's based on better economic data worldwide.
Yep, and then off to the energies. Oil, definitely not the best month for WTI and Brent.
No, it took a dive once again, this time because of a glut of refined products. Refineries have just been going all out with record gasoline demand in the U.S. They are churning out records amounts of gasoline, not only in the U.S., but worldwide. China is now exporting gasoline, but this has kind of overhung the oil market. In addition, the bad U.S. economic data didn't do a lot for oil today. It lost 18% over the month, closed WTI at 41. Brent, not much off that, at 42.70. Henry Hub was flat, 286 last month, 287 this month, despite being in the heat, heart of the heat season, air conditioning season. That does not really bode well for gas. And finally, uranium had quite an interesting month. It's a summer doldrums, always in uranium. 2 days ago, it hit a plus 11-year low on the spot at $25. It bounced over the last 2 days, ended up at $26.75, basically flat over the month. But that $1.75 raise in the price of uranium was due to a million-pound request for proposal by TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority. And that shows you how thin and balanced that this uranium market is right now.
Yeah, that's for sure. So finally, a couple of interesting numbers and the ratios. We won't bother with all of them, but significantly, your silver to gold ratio moving around quite a bit.
Well, it did move around quite a bit intra-month with a high of about 68, closed at a low of 66.6. But that's off from 83 back in the end of February. So that ratio is still skewed toward gold, meaning gold's still overvalued with respect to silver. We look for that ratio to normalize somewhere in the 50 to 55 range at some point. I'm not buying silver right now, but if I was going to buy a precious metal, I would continue to buy platinum, physical platinum, with that ratio up from 0.75 about 6 weeks ago, but still hanging in there at 0.85. That's, once again, if you're going to buy precious metals, I would suggest that platinum is the one you want to own right now.
Hey, and if we look back at our numbers, and one of the great things, keep these meticulous spreadsheets here. Yeah, right. They keep getting longer and longer and longer.
You know, we started this show 5 years ago, if memory serves, and we had all this on one sheet. Now we're up to six sheets.
And we're tracking more and more things. We're tracking the world.
And it keeps getting smaller and smaller. So at some point, the numbers, we're going to have to use magnifying glasses to see them.
Well, you haven't seen my monitor. I have a 48-inch television, so now I can make it bigger and bigger. So
penalty or the advantage, whatever you want to call it, being very farsighted, huh?
Exactly. That's what I do. But the last time we had a ratio of platinum to gold that was over one, meaning that platinum was selling more than gold. Let's go back. When was that? That was in
yeah, 2014.
Exactly. Right.
So, almost 2 years
ago. So I'm going to continue to give this buy signal for platinum until we get above a ratio of 1.0, and that's still skewed toward the low end of the historic ratio.
Just in summary, just keep in mind that throughout, recent history, platinum has almost always sold for more than gold. That's what you need to keep your eye on. And hey, so Nikki, we're done here. I am taking off. I am heading back to Florida. So this was fun seeing you doing it, one-on-one. And hey, we'll see what happens for August. If this is any indication, we're in for a very exciting August.
Well, I hope so, Carrie. Travel safely. You've got Vancouver traffic, and then you got to cross the border, and then you're going to hit rush hour in Seattle. But I take it you're not flying out till tomorrow morning, so you're okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm heading back. I was going to head back tomorrow morning, but then I said, the heck with it. I'm just doing it now so I can avoid all the traffic and not get to the airport stressed. So anyway, Mickey, hey, mercenarygeologist.com, your Twitter feed, other sites?
At Mercenary Geo. Over 54,000 Twitter followers. As always, interview up on mercenarygeologist.fm as soon as Melissa delivers it to me.
And that won't be long, I promise you. And I'm at Kerry Lutz on Twitter as well. I think we're up to 15 or 20,000 of you following us. Mickey, we will talk to you next month. Be well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kerry.